The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Terry Prone is with me. Terry, of course, is chairman of the Communications Clinic, and she recently donated her papers to the National Library of Ireland. Terry, what does that actually mean? What does it? What are included in one's papers?
Well, about 10 crates of material, not just mine, but my husband, Tom Savage. Documents that go back several generations. What actually happened was I was writing the first bit of my memoir about 18 months ago, and for the first time I appreciated my mother, because my mother had these crates, these plastic crates of cuttings, letters, documents, awards, prizes, all sorts of stuff. And I was able to find out, okay, it was on that date that that happened, and this was then. And then I began to think, gosh, this shouldn't be thrown away once I'm done with it. Maybe it could be useful. So I asked somebody in the office, listen, would you ever talk to the National Library and see if they have a system about this? And they came back saying, oh, yes, they're very interested. They want you to go in and talk to them. And I did. And I suddenly realised a thing that I hadn't even thought about before. I thought that kind of the first drafts of, say, my novels would be of interest. They were much more interested, it seemed to me, in simple things like the notes from the Gay Bernard shopping basket, which I did for several years with my mother. And we got the prices of, say, 20 items in 6 different supermarkets, many of them now no longer with us, and mm-hmm. I may be partly responsible for that. And they pointed out to me that that sequence of years of the Gay Bernard basket is testament to a whole social strand within Irish life at the time. So something that I thought was only worth throwing out, they were really interested in. Obviously, my husband, my late husband's stuff was much more scholarly and important, because he was had been a priest, and he had been, for example, the priest that in 1969 was sent to welcome the British troops into Northern Ireland. So his stuff and the transcripts of his television programmes, quite different to mine, yeah, but they go into a collection.
So what is the process? What's the system they have in place? Do they come out to your home, to your place of work? Do they have a team? How do they do it?
They have a team. The director, Dr. Audrey Whitty, and her two collections heads came out, and I had everything lined up in an office, and they started to go through them. And Cronan O'Divlin, who is head of one of the collections areas, said to me that they didn't want me to curate the stuff. And I'm going, sorry, maybe I've already done it wrong in this case, because I have photographs, I have documents, I have letters, all separated. And he indicated, no, 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 that wasn't what he was worried about. What he was worried about was that I would go through everything and take out anything that was bad about me. Now, he didn't put it quite so crudely, because they wouldn't. But I was, oh, gosh, no, 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 you can have them all. I mean, the one most interesting bad thing I don't have, I think the Gardaí may still have it, which was when the general sent me a drawing of a tombstone and a threat to kill me over something that I had written about him. I don't have that, but I have a few other negative things that I did include.
So beyond the first draft of your novels, was there anything else you were surprised that they were not as interested in?
No, I was astonished that they were as interested as they were. I mean, even things that I very tentatively offered. For example, because my mother was a hoarder,
yes,
one of the things that she had and that I had put in a separate collection was all of the accounts that she produced every week for my father. Now, you're looking at me with furrowed brow at the very idea of that. But there was a generation of women who had to do that. They were given money and they had to account for every. And to see the detail of her accounting, it made me realise, my God, I am so liberated, so free, so lucky compared to that generation of women.
But it isn't, it's also, it speaks to a kind of a practice, or not only a culture that doesn't necessarily exist, but a practice, even that accounting, as you say it. So my granduncle was a bishop, and we went through his papers, a similar kind of process. So they go into a diocesan archive.
Yes.
And like that, I just was fascinated. You'd all these incredible things, you know what I mean? People would be writing him during kind of different referenda and everything, and You know, people writing to him during more darker times to do with the church's history and the state and everything. And what I was fascinated by was the books of accounts, because up until he died, he would every single week write out his account, literally to the penny, what he spent on different things.
Yes.
You know, and I would wager nobody under the age of 50, certainly listening to this show, does anything remotely like
nobody.
It. Under the
I
age
mean,
of 70.
That's right. You had an item earlier about taking 50% of your money and spending it on what you need, 30% on what you want. You can tell I was listening. And even that is advice from on high. It's not an instinctive thing that everybody knows they have to do.
Yeah.
Whereas my mother absolutely had to do that.
Yet it's easier to do it now. It should be easier. Absolutely. Because it's all digital. It's on my phone. I could do it here.
Yes.
In the next ad break, I could work out what my expenditure is. And I wonder, because it's easier, or because we know it's there, there's an element of convenience that we don't do it. I don't know.
And also, we are in denial half the time about how much we're in debt on
yeah,
each credit card.
Ignorance
and that was
bliss.
A thing that generation just didn't have. They had a mortgage, because to buy your own house was even more important then. They might have borrowing on a car if they were really lucky and really going up market. But other than that, there was no debt. Debt was a mortal sin. You just couldn't do it. So that was the precision. And that was also why the Gay Bernard thing was so important. I mean, I remember at some stage doing a Gay Bernard item on, do you know the children's annuals that came out at Christmas?
Yeah.
And later that day, after Gay had read it out in the air, I happened to go into Books Unlimited in Donemead. And I was astonished to see they had piled the annuals on the floor, right? But some of the piles were as tall as me, and some of them were only two or three copies left. And I said to the owner, who I knew, well, what's with the towers and the lack of towers? And she said, oh, Gay Bernard this morning. She said, the minute it was over, people came in and bought the annuals that had been recommended by
wow.
Gable. Now, again, I don't think that that is possible now, because we have more media. I think that Connor Pope can torment somebody into giving an apology, but I don't think that there's anybody who has that capacity to recommend something or to say this shop is better this week for all your items.
And the value in all of this from the National Library's point of view is what? Is that there's not a digital equivalent, is it? That they need the hard copy of your and your mother's notes every week, so that somebody in the future, or even the not too distant future, can refer back to it.
Yes, and they will actually, it'll be about 18 months before the collections are ready for people to actually use them for research purposes. They will be digitized. Every single thing will be digitized.
Yeah.
So that if you want to know what sort of columns I was writing in newspapers in 1975, then they will be there and they will be available. So everything that would have been lost, and the stuff that would have been handwritten notes, all of those things would have been either turfed or needed to be captured by somebody like the National Library. What astonished me, Karen, was that they showed me some of the collections of people like W.B. Yeats. And I was kind of in awe of that. But they were so warm and welcoming, and explaining all the time, no, this strand of your material illustrates this in the Ireland of your time?
It's a tangible legacy as well, isn't it? Do you think about it that way?
I don't. I was actually glad to see the truck going away with all of the stuff, because I felt I haven't done anything bad. If somebody ever wants to go in, even me, and find out something, it's going to be there. It's going to be minded. Even if my house goes on fire, it's all going to be safe there. And I was glad to send it away. I did take out only one thing. I took out a letter from a couple that we had been great friends with 30 years ago. And it was just full of lovely stuff. And I took it out because about 5 years after the letter was sent, they divorced. And I thought, you know something, I don't have the right to put their past happiness in the record when they then later separate. But everything else is there, from including a correspondence course. You've never heard of something like that, possibly, that my father did because he wanted to be a writer. And if you go through the correspondence course, you can see him progressing and learning how to get interesting in the first paragraph. And then you see him submitting stuff to the magazines of the time. And it's a wonderful little story of a man who, he was always going to be an Ixer, but he was a writer.
Yeah. Listen, Terry, thanks a million for coming into us.
Pleasure.
And sharing all. Terry Prone, Chairman of the Communications Clinic.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.